delivery app Grubhub is to be taken over by its European rival. From London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. If you're a fan of takeouts, the world of food delivery has some news to go. Europe's food delivery giant Just Eat Takeaway will vote on the company's proposal to buy Grubhub for over $7 billion. It's expected to create the largest company of its kind outside of China, with 600 million orders a day. Lockdowns around the world have made these apps more popular, as restaurants have been forced to close or restrict the number of customers in their premises. But is demand sustainable? I asked Lewis Towell, senior consumer analyst at Global Data.
Just using the US as an example, you know, we found in April, 35% of consumers were saying they were ordering more online delivery. Later in June, that was up to 48%. And we're finding still mid-40% even now in October, still sort of reporting that they plan to order more delivery in the future. These regulations that keep restaurants and bars maintaining lower numbers are obviously going to keep giving this a boost. And when those go away, it's sort of difficult to say whether consumers are going to keep those behaviours up.
Is it a bit strange that Grubhub snubbed essentially Uber Eats to go with Just Eat, a European company?
I think the Uber Eats purchase would have probably faced some difficulty in clearing competition, just because that would have given Uber Eats nearly 50% control, I think. In a lot of ways, the Just Eat model suits Grubhub better. You know, Just Eat in Europe and Takeaway.com primarily focused a lot on local takeaways, so less of the sort of big deals that you see with other players. In the UK, for example, you see Deliveroo. They're really partnered with more premium restaurants, whereas Just Eat and Takeaway really trying to go for the bulk market, and Grubhub very much sort of similar model in how it initially grew in the US. So I think, in a way, there's a more natural partnership between Just Eat, Takeaway and Grubhub than there might have been with Uber Eats.
And one of the problems that a lot of these gig economy type companies face is how they treat their workers, how they classify their workers. I know Just Eat Takeaway decided to change that model a bit for some of their markets because they wanted to protect jobs. Do you think that's going to be a problem going forward?
So Just Eat historically worked with restaurants who provided their own drivers. It's one of the reasons why they've been able to be a bit more profitable. They kind of want to protect that model. They want to try and move away from the gig economy. Financially speaking, when you look at the delivery companies who are hyper-reliant on those gig economy workers, it is yet to be seen whether they're profitable.
Lewis Towell, senior consumer analyst at Global Data. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's have a look at the markets. European stocks opened cautiously higher this morning after US markets suffered a late fall on Tuesday after President Trump walked away from negotiations with the Democrats about the size of a second stimulus package. A study has found that the world's billionaires got richer during the pandemic. Their wealth grew by more than a quarter between April and July, partly owed to recovery in global stock markets. The BBC's Michael Duncan reports.
Billionaires are getting richer and their numbers are increasing. The report by the Swiss bank UBS found that there are just under 2,200 super rich. The richest of them all remains Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, who's estimated to be worth around $200 billion. That's about the same as the annual GDP of New Zealand or Greece. Last year, Oxfam found the world's richest 26 billionaires were worth more than the poorest half of the Earth's population combined.
That was Michael Duncan. According to the United Nations, we're all living longer, with the number of over 65s in the world expected to double in the next 30 years. But as the workforce gets older, ageism is also becoming more of an issue, and women seem to be bearing the brunt of it. The BBC's Tamsin Ford has been meeting older women who are bucking the trend.
Women make up 7% of Fortune 500 companies' CEOs, and just 5% of the UK's FTSE 100 CEOs. It's 2020. So why are older women still not represented at the top?
If you look old, especially as a woman, you don't have any value anymore. You don't deserve respect.
Bonnie Marcus hosts a podcast called Badass Women at Any Age. She coaches women on how to advance their careers.
What happens, I believe, is that as soon as women show any visible signs of aging, they are viewed as not only less attractive, but less competent.
If you're an older woman and you love makeup and you still want to look fabulous, then welcome to my channel. My name is Tricia Cusden and I'm founder and MD of Look Fabulous Forever. And we have a...
This is one of the hundreds of videos on 72-year-old Trisha's YouTube channel. Trisha gave up her career in the corporate world at the age of 65 to look after her sick grandchild. But when she got better, Trisha wasn't needed anymore.
And I just thought, I'd love to launch a beauty business specifically for older women. The only negative experience I had was at a lunch party of a friend. Her daughter had invited this guy to come along. He makes the in-store displays for Chanel. I told him what I was intending to do. And he said, good on you, but older women don't buy makeup. And if it was going to be successful, the big beauty businesses would already have done it. Sorry, but you're going to fail. And I just thought, well, you're a stupid man and I'll show you, you know. And we have a multi-million pound business, basically.
Trisha Cusden there, showing that older women are not to be underestimated. I'm the BBC's Tamsin Ford for Marketplace.
Some inspiring stories there. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.